Trend number three, trust-busting the internet giants. As we observed in the September 2017 Trends issue, during the Obama years, the largest Silicon Valley firms carefully courted the people in the White House, even as their down-ballot allies were decimated. Today, the internet robber barons have dramatically fewer powerful friends left in Washington or most of the state capitals. Their best friends in Congress are in the minority. Friendly regulators are being rapidly replaced by those who have little reason to give them the benefit of the doubt. And with many vacancies to be filled, the judiciary is taking on a less friendly demeanor as each day passes. Since then, these trends have continued as forecast. Most recently, on June 17th, four Republican senators introduced a bill aimed at limiting legal protections of big tech platforms if they are found to selectively suppress certain content. Missouri Senator Josh Hawley said his measure would give users the right to sue if the big platforms enforce their terms unfairly or unequally. How? Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, or CDA, protects websites from being liable for the speech of their users. The Hawley bill would strip the liability protection from platforms that restrict access to or availability of material to users by employing an algorithm that selectively enforces its policies. Hawley specifically charged that big tech companies like Twitter, Google, and Facebook have used their power to silence political speech from conservatives without any recourse for users. Congress should act to ensure these bad actors are not given a free pass to censor and silence their opponents. The bill follows up on President Trump's May 28th executive order, pointing the way toward future action that the federal government might take to rein in the power of social media platforms such as Twitter and Facebook. As Trump said in the Oval Office, the Silicon Valley companies have unchecked power to censor, restrict, edit, shape, hide, or alter virtually any form of communication between private citizens or large public audiences. He added, there's no precedent in American history for so small a number of corporations to control so large a sphere of interaction. Section 230 allows for platforms to moderate content and remove materials deemed to be promoting hate or violence. But without the existing protections, online forums like Facebook, Twitter, and Reddit, as well as media outlets, could be sued for anything posted by a commenter that might cross the line. In addition to an increase in legal costs for these platforms, ISPs would be forced to censor content, which means users would have different kinds of access to certain websites depending on their ISP. The legislation and executive order mentioned previously arise from claims by Trump and his allies that social media platforms are biased. Their plan is to use revisions to Section 230 as a way of reining in social media firms and shut the door to a range of harmful online content. Meanwhile, some activists and legal specialists argue that Section 230 is a cornerstone of the open internet because it allows services to host content from third parties without fear of legal action. Separately, the Trump administration is working to drive reforms of Section 230 so as to provide stronger incentives for online platforms to address illicit material on their services while continuing to foster innovation and free speech. So, what does the most recent escalation of conflict mean for big tech and society more broadly? Trump's executive order sets policy within the executive branch, which includes the Justice Department, which is now presidentially instructed to set up a platform working group, including state attorney generals. And state AGs can be potent, since they too can file lawsuits against big tech, although all of these legal wheels tend to grind slowly. In the meantime, other administration policies will be submitted to independent regulatory bodies, such as the Federal Communications Commission and the Federal Trade Commission. These agencies will have to make their own decisions. Yet, as a revealing aside, we should note that Ajit Pai, chairman of the FCC, has been quick to criticize Twitter's dopey censorship, and another Trump appointee to the commission, Brendan Carr, has been a regular critic of social media bias. So, while Trump's executive order is an important action, it won't end censorship overnight. It simply sends a message to big tech companies in Silicon Valley that they can expect further action from both federal and state levels. How do we know? because similar action has come before in an analogous situation in earlier U.S. history. As analyst James Pinkerton observes, we can learn a lot from another strong precedent for government authorities taking on a super powerful industry. That is, in the mid to late 19th century, governments challenged the tech giants of that era, namely the railroads. So, if we wish to get an inkling of what's going to happen to big tech in the 21st century, we can look back at the history of big railroads in the 19th century. Indeed, the growth of the railroads in the 19th century mimicked Moore's Law in its rapidity, from rail's first beginnings in Massachusetts in 1826, to the laying of almost 9,000 miles of track in 1851, to the completion of more than 158,000 miles of track by 1890. In fact, every superlative about the relative clout of big tech today could be matched by that of big railroads then. The railroad tycoons were frequently dubbed robber barons, and the companies were often collectively known as the Octopus. Not surprisingly, the public was soon demanding that the railroads, economically beneficial and transformative that they were, must be made to better serve the public interest. Yet regulation by the federal government didn't come until 1887, when Congress established the Interstate Commerce Commission, or ICC, aimed at economic regulation of the rails, especially of the rates charged to farmers who needed to get their crops to market. Still, the ICC didn't have real teeth until 1906, when President Theodore Roosevelt engineered passage of the Hepburn Rate Act. So finally, the railroads were deemed to be a common carrier to be regulated, at least somewhat, in the mode of a utility. Thus, we can step back and see that the process of properly regulating the railroads was a multi-decade effort, involving leaders in every state and in both political parties. So now, if we shift our focus from big railroads to big tech, we might ponder the ways in which railroads and digital platforms are similar. That similarity includes what economists now call the network effect, also known in tech circles as Metcalfe's Law. The lesson of the network effect is that the possessor of a network reaps a disproportionate advantage or increasing returns based on the number of nodes, users, customers, or suppliers, on the network. There's nothing wrong with the network effect, it's simply an economic phenomenon, the results of which are sometimes called positive network externalities. Or, as the related Metcalfe's Law puts it, a network value is the square of the number of nodes in the network. For example, if a network has 10 nodes, its value is 100, 10 times 10. But if a network has 100 nodes, its value is 10,000, 100 times 100. So we can see a tenfold increase in nodes equals a 100-fold increase in network value. Thus, the value of a network doesn't just increase arithmetically as it grows in size, it ramps up exponentially. It was the power of the network effect that caused the railroads to grow rich and powerful in the 19th century, and it was the similar power of Metcalfe's Law that caused the tech companies to grow rich and powerful in the 21st century. They were and are both networks, one being physical, one being virtual. Moreover, they are both common carriers. This combination of being a powerful network, which is obvious already, as well as having common carrier status, which is becoming obvious, means that big tech today is likely to face the same regulatory destiny as big railroads back then. Given this trend, we offer the following forecast for your consideration. First, regulatory action against the big tech firms is inevitable, regardless of the outcome of the 2020 elections. Republicans who need to constrain hostile activity by employees of Facebook, Google, and Twitter might have accelerated the movement to regulate the platforms of the 21st century, but the end result is as inevitable as was the regulation of railroads in the 19th century. In fact, the Democrats are already on board. Back in January, Joe Biden declared that he was in favor of new regulation on the tech companies. In the words of Politico, Trump and Biden have come to the same conclusion for starkly different reasons. And that's how enduring change happens, with bipartisanship. While policies with the support of one party only are often undone with the next changing of partisan power. Second, don't expect traditional antitrust tools to be applied to Facebook, Twitter, or similar social media platforms. Why not? Because the value of a network is created by Metcalfean network effects. So, breaking a network into little pieces hurts customers. Therefore, it's far better to keep the network and its exponential value together, while applying regulation to make it fair and to capture some of that value for the public. The most obvious answer is to create a federal platform commission, analogous to the Federal Trade Commission established in 1914 or the Federal Communications Commission created in 1934. A properly run federal platform commission would not permit Twitter to single out the President of the United States for censorship while okaying the tweets of myriad jackasses and lowlifes. A private company has a great deal of discretion in its business choices, but a common carrier, by legal design, has very little discretion. And third, Google, Apple, Amazon, and other tech giants which don't create consumer value primarily through network effects are still likely to be dismantled, much as we saw with Standard Oil and the other 19th century trusts. On June 25th, the U.S. Department of Justice met with state attorneys general to discuss an antitrust probe of Google. The federal government and attorneys general, which are representing 48 states, Puerto Rico, and Washington, D.C., have now opened a range of investigations into allegations that Google has broken antitrust laws.